Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, happy Friday morning. Glad you're with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. We have had a surprise guest in the studio all morning, except for last hour when she fell asleep, and then she is now back. My daughter, Ginger, is in studio with us this morning.
And took a nap.
It's a bring my daughter to work day. She said, off school, and she came in.
I woke up. You didn't think I would. And I said, you set an alarm, didn't you?
She did.
She did.
Or she'd be paused up right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's not used to these hours. She'd still be sleeping if she was home.
Oh, I'd be sleeping till like 10.
That's good, though. Good to get her in here, get a young perspective on what's going on out there. And if you missed it earlier, we'll talk about it again here in a minute. She's been using this AI thing on Snapchat, once again showing, in my opinion, the bias that's built into this thing. And we're going to talk about that again here in a couple of minutes. But we're happy you're with us as we head into what's going to be apparently a very hot weekend. Lots going on. We blew the debt deal thing yesterday. Once again, more Democrats voted for it than Republicans, and they're trumpeting what a great deal it is, which means, you know, we took it in the shorts, and that's all you need to know about it. Chuck Schumer's celebrating. McCarthy and the Republicans lost. Anybody that voted for it lost. And we should have expected it. I don't know why I even thought something different might happen, but it didn't. And that's kind of how that went down. Still to come this morning, we're going to talk to Tom Gipping. He's the senior legal fellow over at the Heritage Foundation. I want to find out about the Supreme Court decision yesterday. There's still a lot of them to be released. None of the big ones came down yesterday, except one that allowed a company to sue a union for damages inflicted during a strike, for money they lost during the strike. And that could have a dramatic impact on these collective bargaining units making a decision, or their union bosses making a decision to go on strike if it sets a precedent. I don't know what it means here in Missouri or Southern Illinois, but we're going to find out when Tom Gipping joins us at about 8:35 this morning. Right now, let's get to the shortlist.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Pollution creates climate change, and pollution kills.
What are you talking about? I'm not here murdering with people. Are you blind?
He needs to be in the race so that he can keep himself out of jail.
People are embedded in those positions, and they hate us.
Yeah, did you hear Arnold in there? Did you hear Arnold Schwarzenegger? So apparently we knew the guy was pretty far left, right? Even though he ran California as maybe the last Republican to ever be hold the title of governor in California. I think that's fair. I think that's a fair statement. I think he's probably the last person who will ever be governor in California who's a Republican, or claims to be a Republican, who carries the mantle of a Republican. Because I don't know when that's going to happen again, right? And we've had our fair share of Schwarzenegger over the years. Remember this one, Carl? I don't know if you remember this or not. Let me make sure my computer's up over here. This is what Arnold Schwarzenegger said about you. Hold on. Wait for it.
No, screw your freedom.
Yeah, that was Arnold during the COVID lockdowns. That was him going on telling you, don't talk to me about freedom. You need to wear a mask and protect other people. And don't talk to me about your freedom.
No, screw your freedom.
Well, he feels the same way about his decision that it's climate change. That's all it is climate change. We got to save the world. Arnold Schwarzenegger is now going to be the Terminator for climate change. He'll be back, and he's going to go fight on the front lines of climate change. But he's got some advice for them. He went to the Austrian World Summit and had a conversation with CBS News. And he basically said that they're losing the argument right now on climate change. and he's got a little crisis communication advice for what they need to do to shift the messaging and retake control of this. So out of touch, it's unbelievable. But go to cut 15 for us, Carl, please.
For the past 8 years, he's been holding the Austrian World Summit, a gathering with a goal to reduce the impact of climate change. Except he hates the phrase climate change.
As long as they keep talking about global climate change, they're not going to go anywhere because no one gives a about that. So my thing is, let's go and rephrase this and communicate differently about it and really tell people. We're talking about pollution. Pollution creates climate change, and pollution kills.
Are you on a mission to save the world?
I'm on a mission to go and reduce greenhouse gases worldwide because I'm into having a healthy body and a healthy earth. That's what I'm fighting for.
That's what he's fighting for, and he'll be back.
Which one is he?
What's that?
He's Arnold? Not the one in Rocky, right?
No. Arnold Schwarzenegger? Come on, seriously.
Who?
You don't remember Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Carl, was that necessary?
Yes.
Yeah. No, who's the one in Rocky?
He's the Terminator. What do you mean, who's the one in Rocky?
They have like the same accent.
Sylvester Stallone.
Okay, they're like buddies. The same accent.
They've been in movies together. I mean,
okay,
that's
Expendables.
All right, Expendables. But she probably hadn't seen any of that.
How do you
Can
spell?
You believe my 15-year-old does not know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is? I know he's been
Terminator.
Around a long time, right?
I found him.
He was the Terminator.
Ew.
I'll be back. Anyway.
She said,
but
ew.
The point is, what are the odds? Now, he is a, among other things, he's a real estate mogul. Don't you think there's a good chance that he and Maria Shriver, I know they're not together anymore, but they co-parent their children, probably have beachfront property somewhere in California? Do you think he's noticed that the ocean level has not consumed his beachfront property yet? Here's where they're out of touch. People have eyes and ears and a brain, like Hillary Clinton alluded to one time, and they can see what they can see. And if you poll anybody in this country, climate change isn't in the top 10 of issues for most people, particularly not people on the Republican side of the aisle. I know that. And for most Democrats, it's not in the top 5 issues. The number one issue is the economy. The economy, stupid. That's what people care about. And yet John Kerry flies around the globe, and I'm sure Arnold does too, on private jets, spewing this nonsense that they're going to save the world like Arnold's going to do. And they can't understand why people aren't listening to them. So now Arnold has decided it's just a matter of the wrong wording, right? As long as we talk about global climate change, it's not going to go anywhere. No one gives a beep about that, according to Schwarzenegger. But here's the thing about it. No one cares about it because guess what? First, they told us there'd be an ice age when in the 1970s, when I was Ginger's age, I was told there was the coming of the new ice age. It was on the front page of like Time magazine or something. I remember seeing it at home. And then they changed their mind and said it's going to overheat. The Earth's going to overheat. And then they realized that wasn't happening either. So now they had to come up for something in the middle. Well, it's doing something somewhere. Somebody's going to do something bad somewhere. Remember that from our friend Keith? Keith Antone, somebody's done something wrong. Hold on. Wait. Carl, you know what?
Yeah.
I have that here somewhere. Hold on. Where here it is.
No, I don't have a problem because I think there's somewhere, somehow, he's done something wrong.
Yeah, that's like the word climate change. We don't know what it's going to do, but it's going to do something. And that's why people don't buy into it, not because you're not calling it pollution. China builds a new coal-burning power plant every month, and we haven't built one here in 30 years. But we're the problem. I'm not buying it. I don't know about you. All right, quick break here. Hoping to get to Lauren Simonetti with Fox Business. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. We put in a request for her. She's talking about what's going on in Colorado with legalized marijuana. Shocker. They're having problems out there. I wonder why that is. And then we're going to get to Thomas Gipping, senior legal fellow with Heritage, who's talking about this new Supreme Court ruling on unions and their liability if they cause damages when they strike. It's all coming up. We'll be right back.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Beauty fades, stupid's forever.
Amen, Dagan McDowell. Truer words have never been spoken. Well, I mean, in some cases, truer words have been spoken.
I think I called him a butthead in a minute.
Absolutely. So we're glad you're back with us here. I don't think we're going to get to Lauren Simonetti. We've been waiting for her to call. I wanted to talk to her about this story out of Colorado, where they've had all kinds of problems out there with cannabis of all. Can you imagine why they would have problems with recreational marijuana, which is now legal in 23 states? Minnesota's making it official now.
It was this week.
The map's expanding. But in Colorado, one of the first states to legalize it, sales are faltering. Businesses are contracting, forcing more than 10,000 jobs to be eliminated in the last year alone. I don't know. Did they lose their motivation to work? They back living in mom and dad's basement, getting stoned all the time? Could be. The National Association of Realtors also reports a decline in property purchases for marijuana-related businesses. Officials point out oversupply, overtaxation, and even illegal and unlicensed shops creating crime-riddled areas. On top of that, a record number of workers are, wait for it, testing positive for marijuana, leaving their employers with a shrinking pool of qualified applicants and facing an uncertain road. It was only ever about the Benjamins. Do you understand that? For all of these states that listened to the potheads and approved recreational marijuana, it was only ever about the Benjamins. Or access to pot, one of the two. That's it. So for the politicians and a few smart business people, they knew they could rake in millions of dollars, tax dollars and profits for doing this. Problem is, you can't take it and put it in the bank because the banks are federally regulated and the sale of marijuana is still federally illegal. So that's a problem in and of itself. So in other words, the money has to be laundered effectively, or it can't go through a regular bank. I wonder what the IRS is doing to crack down on that. Might be an interesting question. My guess is none of the new agents that will be hired with the now $86.5 billion that will be spent instead of $88 because we saved so much money on the debt ceiling bill. I wonder if any of them will be focusing on that. Instead, they'll be looking for $600 Venmo transactions in your bank account. So I was really hoping to talk to Lauren Simonetti, who's covering the story for Fox this morning, but she was unavailable. So you had to see it coming, though. Even in St. Louis County and other municipalities that passed that tax, they increased the taxes on pot. Now that it's legal, now that nobody gets stopped for smoking the skunk weed, you can drive down. I drove my convertible the other day and got subjected to it because some butthead was smoking it in the car ahead of me. You're not supposed to be able to do that, but nobody's enforcing it. It's no longer an enforceable offense. So, or at least it's ignored, right? And then that leads into the whole problem. But the point is, if you overtax it, at some point, why is it not just cheaper to grow it yourself? Or if you don't have the intestinal fortitude to do that, to buy it from the guy you used to buy it from down the street. So then the black market starts flourishing again for it. And then they don't get their precious tax dollars. So it's a vicious cycle. I'm just saying. I think that's a good example of it. I was going to mention this earlier, and I didn't get around to it. Do you know, remember Allison Hawk? I don't know if you remember the name or not. She got hired to do public relations in 2019 for Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner. So most of these businesses could probably hire a PR person who'd be happy to do the job for 50, 60 grand a year. Maybe. They got a city job. They got good benefits. They got all that. not the circuit attorney's office. They decided to outsource that job, right? They hired a PR lady, Allison Hawk, to do it. $25,000 up front is what the office paid her. And then a $7,500 a month. She just got $7,500 a month and had to provide them at least 8 hours a week access to her for $7,500 a month retainer. So she was making $90,000 a year for maybe 8 to 10 hours of work a week. That's a pretty good job if you can get it. So the first thing they did when Gabe took over is they fired her. But just another example of some bad decision-making. Now, Katie Jamboretz, who I used to work with, Catherine, over at Channel 4 years ago, her company has taken over that job. And she said, if I read this correctly, that they're doing it on a contract basis right now, basically for free for now. We'll see. But I had not seen that story. The Business Journal is covering that today. All right, coming up, Tom Gipping on the Supreme Court decision on unions.
Hello.
It is June, and we've been waiting for the Supreme Court to start dropping some of these big decisions. And yesterday was a day when they did release some of those cases. Maybe not some of the big ones we've been waiting on, but one, nevertheless, that could have some far-reaching implications when it comes to unions. And what they can do when they're on strike, or what they may be liable for, maybe a better way of putting that. We've got Thomas Gipping with us this morning, of course, senior legal fellow with the Heritage Foundation. And Thomas, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday to you. Great to have you on here this morning. This is seen as a bit of a blow to unions, correct?
Well, it's the union in this case lost. That's true. But I think since it was an 8-1 decision, and you had, you know, Sotomayor, Kagan joining Kavanaugh and Barrett and what have you, I think it was a pretty persuasive decision that gave a little bit more balance to the way that some of these labor management conflicts are handled. I think we've seen a trend of a real imbalance, a real kind of a bias in favor of unions in the way that the National Labor Relations Board, you know, handles these issues. So I think this gave a little bit more balance, and because it was a almost unanimous decision, I hope it's persuasive.
Yeah, only Ketanji Brown Jackson dissented on this for political reasons. She was afraid that it might hurt a union's ability to strike, even though her two fellow more progressive justices voted in with the conservative majority. The issue here was a cement company, right, in Washington State, and they sued the International Brotherhood of Teamsters because their argument is after their employees walked off the job, they lost all of that day's wet concrete that they had already loaded into delivery trucks. They have to keep those barrels spinning to keep the cement from hardening, and they wanted their money back.
Yeah, I mean, this is, like you said, it was just a ready-mix concrete company, and that particular kind of concrete has to be handled in a certain way, or it very quickly begins to harden and is unusable and could, of course, damage equipment and trucks. Well, here, they were in the middle of a big operation of mixing and loading and delivering, and it wasn't until that whole operation was underway that the union said for the drivers to strike. And that's why it put so much of the company's property in danger of being damaged or destroyed. And the issue was whether, in this case, the employer sued the union under state law to get damages for, you know, losing all of that concrete. But the issue here was whether the state courts should step aside so that the National Labor Relations Board could have a first crack at the case. And the fact is, the union here intentionally orchestrated the strike so that it would destroy employer property. And National Labor Relations Act has never protected that. And that's where the idea of balance comes in. You know, the federal law protects the right to strike, But there's got to be some limits on that. I mean, strikers can't, as they're striking, you know, destroy the employer's property along the way. They have to take some reasonable measures to avoid doing that so that the conflict stays focused on the contract issues. And here, the union just intentionally, they knew what they were doing. I mean, yeah. They knew the business they were in. And here they just intentionally put the employer's property at significant risk. And the court, 8-1, said that goes too far.
You know, I know it's just the beginning, really. We've got until just not quite the end of the month. They're going to have to dump all of these opinions. What's the biggest one you're looking for? Is it the student loan issue?
Well, there's that, but also there's the two affirmative action cases, one out of Harvard and one out of the University of North Carolina, which I hope will, you know, more firmly establish the, you know, what we thought was a very accepted principle that student admissions should not be done on the basis of race. And also a case involving a company called 303 Creative, which is a free speech case in which a company that produces wedding videos did not choose to make one for a same-sex wedding. And, of course, they were sued. And the idea is, you know, whether they can be forced to express support by making their product in support of something that violates their religious beliefs. So those are very important cases. You know, this one is important, too. I'm glad you're highlighting it because, you know, this has to do with whether the courts can kind of twist federal law and decide cases that steer the law, in this case, in the labor context, in a particular direction that Congress didn't necessarily want to do. You know, Justice Jackson described her approach would make the Supreme Court even more powerful than what it is over these issues. And so this was an important case as well. So, yeah, there's a lot more coming down the pike.
Yeah, very true. You know, I know you worked, obviously, for Orrin Hatch for a while, and you worked at the Senate Judiciary Committee. Have you enjoyed as much as I have watching John Kennedy question some of these judicial nominees of the Biden administration?
Well, you know, a lot of what goes on in the Congress and in the Senate is not pretty or close up. But I'll have to say, you know, observing Senator Kennedy and his role on the committee and you know, interacting with his staff, he's a great member of that committee. And he asks questions that, you know, if you're watching and you don't necessarily have the your mind hasn't been warped by law school, you know, you can get what he's talking about, and you can understand some of these important points. I will say it's probably a little bit of a challenge being a staffer for him because he can be a little bit unpredictable. But I think he really serves a very important purpose on that committee.
Yeah, I agree completely. Thomas Gipping with Heritage, I appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Great to have you on today. And this is one of the ones that I was talking about, and I don't think I got around to playing it. This is a district court nominee named Anna De Alba, and Kennedy just absolutely tied her up in knots in front of this committee. Listen to this.
All right, and just tell me about the Commerce Clause in general.
So my understanding about the Commerce Clause, like I stated, Senator, is that it is under the Article 1 of the Constitution, and it allows the legislature to create laws that allow for movement and things related to commerce in the United States. So anything crossing state lines, things like that.
So it allows Congress to regulate commerce?
Yes.
Between whom?
Between states, for example?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Anybody else?
It's not coming to mind right now, Senator.
Okay.
All right. It's funny to watch. It would be, it's like if you've ever had that anxiety dream that you show up for a class on the last day in college and you forgot to go all year long, and then suddenly you find yourself in the final and you don't know the answers to the quiz. That's what Kennedy does to these judicial nominees, many of whom are clearly not ready for prime time and certainly not ready to be federal judges, but they've been appointed for political reasons by the Biden administration. And thank God that John Kennedy is up there asking the hard questions, because he's absolutely the best at that. There's no doubt about it.
Mr. Comey is a meathead.
I love that guy. All right. Quick break here. We're going to get to What's on the Web with our friend Anna Bowman coming up. Stay tuned. Happy Friday. I'm still celebrating the fact that news broke today. And this was, I'm sorry, in my world, this was a really big deal.
Oh, great Odin's Raven.
AC/DC is going on tour again, and hopefully they're coming to St. Louis at some point.
Wow.
I hope. That's a big deal to me. That was a great concert the last time they were here.
I wonder if my dad knows that yet.
Well, probably not, because I caught this early this morning and decided I had to talk about it. How old is Angus Young now? He's got to be 70, right?
Old.
Wow. That guy put on a heck of a show. Two-plus hours of sweat-drenching rock and roll. Can't
All
wait.
All dressed up like a schoolboy.
I hope they come back to St. Louis. I really do. I might have to travel to see that, because it'll probably be their last tour if they go.
Quote, the juices are running again.
Absolutely. Well, that's Brian Johnson. Their singer had to drop out the last concert.
Hearing problems.
And now he's back, baby. So we got to take advantage of that while we can. Anyway, I digress. So Hannah Gibbs and Anna Bowman in the studio right now. Carl, hit it.
Oh, yeah, that.
Okay, forget it. Yeah.
Oh, because we've
I'll
got
produce
this
it. That's
no,
okay.
No,
no it's no
I
big
was
deal.
Trying to spell Hannah's name correctly.
Oh.
What's on the web? Brought to you by Anna.
Ah, Anna, how are you?
I'm great.
I'm doing fine. Thank you. We helped some tweet go viral earlier because the guy wrote a song.
I know.
A traffic
I just
song
listened
for
to
Sue.
It.
Isn't that great?
It's pretty great.
I'll have to listen to that.
Yeah.
Huh. The guy's got a great country music voice, too.
He does.
He sounded fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, dropped a couple cuss words in there, but other than that, it's
ass.
It's okay. It didn't sound like that. It just happened to be in the song.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what's going on out there today? What do we got posted?
So all of these stories are on 971talk.com if people want to see more. The first one, senior pranks might be going a little too far. There were some seniors in Delaware that snuck into their principal's house and had a sleepover and surprised her in the morning. And I'm not even over-exaggerating. The video is on our website. It has over 1 million likes on Instagram. It is so funny. The principal walks in, obviously just woke up. She's in her robe and wearing Crocs.
Thank goodness.
And I mean, her hair is all over the place.
Yeah, thank goodness she's in her robe. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, she walks into the kitchen, opens the door, sees them, immediately closes the door, and then comes back in 5 seconds later just stunned and did not even know. There were 70 students sleeping on the floor of her kitchen.
And she couldn't suspend all of them. That must have been a big kitchen.
Yeah, 70? Yeah. And it turns out that her husband was actually, he knew about it, and he let all of the kids in the house.
Okay.
Ex-husband, I think.
So they're off the hook.
Yeah, she said, jokingly, she was like, you guys are all in big trouble. But then later, she said it was the most beautiful sight she could imagine.
Beautiful sight. Wow. I don't think my principal would have reacted
I don't
that
think
way.
So either. But
so your sister just graduated, correct?
She did,
from
yeah.
Westminster.
Yep.
And their senior prank was to rebuild a car inside
in
of the
entry. In the
main
middle
entry.
Of the grand entry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fun
surprise.
Did
they get in trouble for that? Do you know?
No, they didn't. The school was totally, I think they thought it was funny.
They put like ropes around it when we were doing our show so that people wouldn't bother
Oh, I didn't even know that.
No, they like guarded it off because they liked
and
it.
And I know all the seniors signed the car too. So my sister signed Bowman's out because she's the last one of us three.
That's
nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yep. Another story. So the Barbie movie is coming out July 21st. And if you watch the trailer, there's a lot of pink and like the whole world is basically pink. And it turns out the movie set actually caused an international pink shortage.
What?
The sets were made by Warner Bros. In England, and so much pink paint was used, it caused Roscoe Paint to nearly run out of the color altogether. And so the production designer said the world ran out of pink. So,
is it animated or is it real life Barbie
stuff? No, it's real.
Margot Robbie is Barbie.
Oh.
And what's his name?
Ryan Reynolds is Ken.
Ryan Gosling.
Gosling, sorry.
So do they like do him just like the doll? Make him look like the doll?
Yeah.
He got a lot of backlash for it because they said he looked too old to be Ken.
No, he doesn't.
He looks a little old.
Gosling is he's getting a little long in the tooth for that, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie was the perfect Barbie, though. She was the best person to cast for that.
I want to see that movie.
You've
I
seen the
that.
Trailer?
I have seen the
Did
trailer.
They like overplay it like with the stupid dialogue from the Barbie movies?
It yes. seems like it's more targeted toward our age, though. It's not just for kids.
Yeah, it's kind of I wouldn't nostalgic, say it looks.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, yeah, it doesn't Ryan look
Gosling
like
is 42.
Watch.
I don't know how old Ken was supposed to be, but I would have guessed he was in
42.
His 30s.
Yeah, I
anyway.
Wouldn't have guessed Ken.
Did have okay, Anna, Hannah, have either of you seen Little Mermaid?
No.
You plan to?
I'm not a huge Disney
Neither am I.
Movie person.
Weren't you just at Disney?
Yeah, I'm a Nickelodeon kid through and through.
What? I'm a yes. Disney Channel person.
Didn't Disney buy that? No, they bought Pixar. I don't know why.
No, I'm a Nickelodeon kid through and through. I did just go to Disney, though.
You did. Carl wants to go to Disney. It hasn't worked out yet. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, sensitive topic.
That's a bummer. That is a bummer.
Well, we got an email that we might talk about next week.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Did you see that?
I did not.
Then never mind, anyone.
Okay.
are you going to see Little Mermaid, Mark?
He's going to go with me.
If it comes out on Disney, which we happen to have only because of our Hulu package, then I might watch it at some point because I understand the girl has
a
beautiful voice.
She's a fantastic voice.
But I think it's going to be a little awkward. It's going to be like Space Jam when she's interacting with
the behind the scenes
animated
are really
characters.
Cool. I love looking at all that stuff.
I mean, I've heard that it's kind of a woke movie, but that's
Disney,
why I'm not going to
so.
Pay to go to the box office yep. to see it. It's Disney. What can
Mark,
you expect?
Go to Spider-Man this weekend.
Yeah, I'll go see that instead. Not. All right. Thanks, Anna. Thanks, Hannah.
Thanks for having
Ginger,
us.
Ginger, thanks
Stay
for
rise.
Tagging along today.
And staying
Hannah.
Awake for yes, 3-4
that.
Hours.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I slept for one of those hours, Carl.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. All right. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday morning about 5 a.m. We'll see you then.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.